a real privilege for us to be back at Pekin Bible Church. This church has had a long association with us, or us with them, with you. We praise God for that long association. It dates back to 1977, when Gloria and I and our children came to pastor at Sutter-Salem Bible Church in Warsaw, Illinois. And we've enjoyed very much that long, long association. And I asked the Lord, in preparing for this trip to come to the RHMA conference, I asked the Lord, what should I share? What should I speak on? And the sense that he gave me from his word was that I needed to share from our experience, and no doubt from yours, the fact that we all need Jesus every day. We need him. We are dependent on him. And we've had to learn dependence on him. Just this past week, as we made our way from Utah to RHMA conference, we traveled through about 200 miles of blizzard conditions and finally drove out of it and found out later that they had closed about a 200-mile stretch of Interstate 80 because of the weather that we had just gone through. But we depended on the Lord. We kept praying, Lord, should we go or stay or turn back or what should we do? And God really indicated that we needed to keep moving on and stay ahead of the storm. And so we did that. And it was just one of those many illustrations where we needed to depend on him. And he came through for us because that's his nature. He's a giving, caring, dependable God. And I wanted to share a brief message with you from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. If you have your Bibles today, look with me at that passage, the opening verses, but especially verses 5 and 6. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 5 and 6. In those two verses, Paul writes, "Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." Just a quick background for this passage, the context of it. 2 Corinthians is a book really all about Paul's defense of his role as an apostle. He had been in Corinth for about a year and a half, establishing a ministry, a church there. But there were people who kept saying, false teachers, who kept saying, Paul isn't really an apostle. He wasn't one of the 12. He's not really one of them. And Paul is defending his apostleship. So he says at the beginning of the chapter, notice, "Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Do we need, as some do, letters of recommendation?" And then he goes on to say, "You are our letter of recommendation. You believers, you brothers and sisters in Corinth, you are the letter of recommendation from God to us, because we had a part in your lives, and you are that letter known and read by all men." He was so thankful for the fact that God used him to start a church in Corinth, to bless the lives of believers in Corinth, and to write them not one but two letters over time to help them along in their walk with the Lord Jesus. So Paul is the instructor here when it comes to depending on God. He makes it very clear, I'm not depending on myself. I'm not claiming that because I'm an apostle, I can do anything I want to do for God. He knew that his dependence was on God. And we need to have that same attitude as we seek to live for the Lord Jesus. He's establishing his credentials, but his greatest credential is, Jesus is my Savior. His greatest credential is, I get to serve Jesus. We have that same credential. And so do you, if you know Jesus as your Savior. You get to serve Jesus right here in the Pekin area or wherever you may be from. For us, it's Utah. So that sufficiency that he's talking about really has the idea of adequacy, of competence to serve God. And Paul makes it clear, my competence isn't in myself and my training and my abilities and what I can accomplish on my own and in my own strength. My competency, my adequacy, my sufficiency is from Jesus, from God Himself. That kind of dependence depends on and begins with surrender of my will to Jesus. I surrender my will to His will. His will is perfect. Being in the center of God's will is the perfect place to be. Not that we're perfect, but that's the perfect place to be as I walk with God, in the very center of His will. All of my opportunities to serve Him, my potential for serving Him, my abilities, my spiritual gifts, all of that comes from God. So notice again what he says there in verse 5. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God. There's nothing godly or eternal that will find its source in me. It'll only find its source in God working through me. That's really the essence of what Paul is talking about here. You see, I have no resources in myself, in Bill, to lead somebody to Jesus Christ. I have no resources in myself, in Bill, to transform somebody's life. I have no resources in myself to cause a church to start or to grow. That can only come from God. And so I must depend on Him. You see, the task of starting a church, or the task of growing a church, or the task of living a godly life is an enormous task. It's too big. It's too crucial, eternally speaking, for me to take that on myself and think, I can do it. No problem. I can do it. Just leave it to me, God. I'll figure out a way. That's not what Paul is talking about here. What he's talking about is God is adequate. More than adequate. Jesus himself said in John chapter 15, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, and that's the key, abiding, depending on, living in his power, whoever abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, Jesus says, you can do a whole bunch. Oh, I quoted that wrong. Without me, you can do how much? Nothing. Nothing. So I have to depend on God. I have to trust Him to use me. You need to trust Him, if you're a Christian, to use you. And He will. That's the amazing thing. Because He is adequate, He makes us adequate. The word adequate, that Greek word that's translated sufficient or adequate, literally means to reach with the hand. To reach with the hand. And I picture that, not because I'm trying to think Greek, but I picture that as reaching for God's hand, joining my hand with His, saying, God, I need your help. I need you. I can't do this on my own. I really believe that's the essence of what Paul is talking about. So only someone with a soft heart, a heart yielded to the Lord, can do that kind of work for Him. I love this passage in Isaiah 57, verse 15. God speaking, and he says, I dwell in the high and holy place. We understand that. That's who God is, and that's where he dwells, in a high and holy place. But then he says, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit. So God dwells in this high and holy place, but he also dwells in the heart and life of a person who says, God, I need you. The great missionary Hudson Taylor was speaking on one occasion at a large convention or conference, probably like RHMA. And the person who was introducing him kept referring to him as the great missionary, J. Hudson Taylor. When he finally got up to speak, he started by saying, "I am the little servant of the illustrious master." That's a good way to see ourselves. And I'm not talking now about low self-esteem. I'm talking about high God esteem. There's a difference, a huge difference. Vance Havner, the late Baptist preacher, said, "Our weakness plus God's strength is an unbeatable combination. We can do things by God's power." Paul said it, Philippians 4:13. Some of you have committed it to memory like I have. "I can do all things through Christ," not through me, not in myself, but through Christ who strengthens or energizes me. His sufficiency lived out in us is what equips us for service for God. Paul expressed that again in this same book, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You needn't turn there, but just remember that that's where Paul says, "I prayed for God to take this thorn in the flesh away, and God said, no, my grace is sufficient." And Paul said, "I would rather glory in my weakness then, because when I am weak, then am I strong." So his sufficiency lived out in us equips us for service. So in Christ, you and I are sufficient for whatever God wants us to do, whatever he's called us to do. If he's called you to teach a Sunday school class at Pekin Bible Church, you are sufficient in him to do that. If he's called you to be an elder or a deacon, you are sufficient for that in him, not in yourself, but in him. If he's called upon you to lead in music, as these wonderful musicians have done, he can enable you to do that by his power. You can do it through him. I want you to know this morning, please understand this for all of you who are part of Pekin Bible Church, there are no trivial assignments in the local church. None. I've often used this man's illustration because he made an impact on my life. My home church was up in Kalamazoo, Michigan, growing up. And we had a man in our church named George whose task every Sunday, all the years that I knew him, was to put a glass of water in the pulpit for the pastor, check the heat or the air conditioning, make sure it was just right, and turn on the PA system. He did that job faithfully for many years. I don't even know how many. He's gone to be with the Lord now. There are no trivial assignments in God's family. He has a job for you to do, just as he has a job for Gloria and me to do. And please know, he doesn't need our ability. What he desires is our availability. It's an old saying, but it's true. He desires our availability to serve him. So I'm convinced that the world doesn't need to see what God can do through Bill Bagley, psyched up to be Bill. The world needs to see what God can do through Bill Bagley as he yields in total dependence on the all-powerful God of the universe. I want to close this portion of things with a quotation of a hymn. It was written in the 1700s. By a man named John Berridge. I wish I knew the tune. I could sing it for you, but I don't know the tune. But one verse from the song says this: "Then let this mighty Jesus be an all-sufficient help for me, directing power and will. Thy grace sufficed saints of old. It made them strong, it made them bold, and it suffices still." So God is in the business now of making you strong, making you bold, so you can serve him at Pekin Bible Church, and we can serve him in our church in Utah. It's a real privilege to give you some practical illustrations for the next few minutes before we close. Gloria is going to come and help me with this, and we're going to share with you how God can be depended on in all these different areas that you see on the screen.
The first area is when it comes to guidance. Psalm 32:8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. And guidance was the first thing that in the last little while we needed to depend on God for, because I told you last year, I think, about this, that Bill kept saying that he was going to die in Preston, Idaho, but I didn't think I was going to die there, so I wasn't sure what was going to happen. But he ended up having a stroke, and after his stroke, this is the first Sunday that he was back in the pulpit in Preston, and I don't remember how long after that it was, but on Mother's Day, we went home from church, and I said, now, do you really think you're going to end up dying here, or do you think that we might have one more church plant left in us? And he was quiet for a while, and then he said, I think we might have one more. So now it could have just been a big idea that two old people had, and so we needed guidance to know if it was God's idea or our idea. And so, as in the past, when we needed guidance, we already were in God's Word every day, but we began to look at His Word thinking, God, show us through Your Word what it is that You want us to do. And we kept praying that He would show us what to do. We also got advice from because he was being the pastor at Grace Fellowship Church, and I was the director at El Shaddai Sanctuary and Refuge. Those are cabins there from there. And so we needed to know. And so we first got guidance. And this is our family back when we were in Illinois, many, many years ago. And it's wonderful when your kids grow up and become your spiritual advisors. And that's who we went to first. We went to our son Bill, who is now the vice president at Frontier School of the Bible, and we asked Bill and Laura if they thought we still had the possibility of one more church plant, and they felt like we did. So then we went to another spiritual advisor, June and Derek, our daughter June and her husband Derek. These are their five kids. Landon is in the Air Force, and so they didn't have a picture of him. He's the one all by himself there. And they felt like maybe we did have in us to do again. And then we contacted Miles, and he works with youth up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and he felt like perhaps we did. And then we contacted Evie and her husband Travis, and he's a pastor in Mapleton, Iowa, which we were going to stay with them the night before last, but Sophie got the flu, and they were expecting a lot of snow, so we thought we just might keep going and not end up with the flu, sharing it with everyone at RHMA. But they all felt like maybe that would work. So then we started knocking on some doors, and we were praying, God, keep shutting them if You don't want us to do this. And we first contacted RHMA and said, do you take people that are old? And they said they did. So that was an open door. And then we talked to Jeff Thames, who was the assistant pastor at the church there in Preston, and said, would you ever think about being the pastor? And so he took a couple weeks and prayed about it, and he said, yes, I think I would. It was another open door. And then I had to have a talk with Mary Jo and say, if we go, would you take over at El Shaddai? And I was really worried that door would be closed, but she said yes. And so every place that we knocked, God flung the doors open, and we were so thankful for His guidance.
Just also needed to find out from the Lord what he wanted us to do as far as a plan. We needed wisdom. And so when we finally decided that maybe Garden City was the right place to go, we asked God, how do we even begin that process? How do we approach planting a church in Garden City, Utah? We'd been through the town many times in the past, and we really believed that it was a town that was tremendously needy, 97% Mormon. But in James chapter 1, verse 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally and doesn't upbraid, and it shall be given him. Not might be, but shall be given to him. And so we ask God for wisdom about where to plant a church for this third time around for us. And thank you for being a part of coming along with us on this journey. But we ask God about a plan. The town of Garden City is unique, but like many towns out there, it's heavily Mormon. This is the only Mormon ward or church building in town, but there are two wards, two different church families that meet in that building. And the Mormon church is everywhere out there, and especially in towns like this, it's 97% Mormon. So we needed to know, God, will you do this church plant for us? We'll serve you, but we're depending on you. Garden City is located on Bear Lake, which spans the border of Idaho and Utah in the northeastern corner of Utah. It's a beautiful lake. It's almost exactly the same size as the Sea of Galilee in the Bible. 20 miles long, 8 miles wide, and it's a beautiful blue color. People come from all over to play on the lake. It's a town that is a resort town, and so lots of businesses in town cater to the vacationers who come through the summer months. And we really believe that's where God wanted us to plant a church, because there was a need there, a huge need for a church. And so that was part of that process of determining, God, what is your will? And give us wisdom. We want to know.
And that church that he showed you is the only church in the county, except for a little tiny Baptist church that's 28 miles from Garden City. The third thing that we needed guidance for was for provision. We had looked at one place that we thought might be good if it was a little white house on the main street, but it sold, and it was so good because it wouldn't have been that great. But what God did provide was a little place that's called the Village, that's in the heart of Garden City. And it has 9 different shops. Oh, I'll back up a minute. My favorite verse about God's provision is 2 Corinthians 9. Well, it's actually 2 verses, 8 and 11. And it says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way. And so God led us through a realtor that we were working with to the Village, and it has these 9 little shops. We feel like it's our Jerusalem, that the people that are in those little shops in the Village are the first ones that we are to reach out to and pray diligently for their salvation. There's an escape room, if any of you have ever gone to those, a contractor, a hairdresser, and a property management building. But there were 2 places in the beginning that were free. Not free, they were empty. And so we started out renting those, and all last winter we did a lot of work. Bill and I would work till noon, and then we'd go home and put our pajamas on for the rest of it. But we got them remodeled, and Mary Jo would come and work. And Mary Jo took one of the buildings and turned it into a coffee shop. And that little coffee shop in our town right now, there are, well, there's starting to be more, but all winter long there's been 600 people in the town of Garden City. But as soon as Memorial Day comes, until Labor Day, there are 35,000 to 45,000 people that are there every week, and they change every week. There was no way we would be able to interact with them, but God provided the village. And so in the coffee shop, Mary Jo put up a map, and we asked people to put a pin where they were from. We had people from 40 different countries, and every state in the United States except for 4 in 3 months. And there could have been more countries than that, but not everybody stuck a pin in. But it was incredible, and we weren't that busy because nobody knew we were there. You can pray that this summer they might know that we're there. We were the only business in town that there was no wait. But it was good because it gave us opportunities to talk to people. And those other businesses right on the main street, they can't talk to anybody. They're just running around like chickens with their heads cut off. And so Mary Jo started the coffee shop. I started Natural Nibbles and Delights, and I sell a Healthy Choice in town. It's the only place you can get a Healthy Choice. And I have the Tranquility Room for people that are at a cabin with a million family members, and they are like me, and they just need some time alone to recharge their batteries, and then they can go back to the craziness. Then preschool opened up shortly after we'd gotten those places fixed up, and I mean they left. And so that's where we planted the church, and you'll see the inside of it in a minute. And then we also got another building that in the village that is the office for Lighthouse Ministries, which is kind of like the umbrella of all the other ministries there that we're doing. And it has Bill's office because he likes to be there every day so that people, if they ever want to talk, they know where they can find him, and he has availability in town. It also has a little meeting place, and I have to always have a library and a bookstore, so we have that in there too. Then, last year, after we were here, God gave us this house up in the hills, and we had 2 girls that were working with us all last year in the coffee shop and in Natural Nibbles, and they lived with us in that house. This summer, our daughter June and Derek are coming with their 2 girls, and so we're hoping to give them our house, and Bill and I live in an RV. But you could just pray that we get the RV, because right now we'll have to just camp out, and I'm not sure how that will go with the porcupine that I found out I had that's eating all the bark off my trees. Just threw that in. But upstairs in this house, there's over the garage an area that we're turning it into a place that I call the upper room, and it's for pastors and their wives that just need to a little vacation. We never took one. I don't know what's wrong with us, but we just never did. But Derek, our son-in-law, is working with pastors that are burning out left and right and dropping out of ministry completely. And so he is encouraging them, and we want to provide a place where they can go and it won't cost them anything. And people in our church are getting excited about helping with that. And so we want to provide a place for them in the upper room to stay as long as they like. So you can pray about that too. All we need is a stairway up to that door that you see there. There's a big deck, and they would have their own private entrance. And so we just need a stairway builder and stairway money. And then when we, you guys here were one of the first churches to take us on and support 100 years ago when we left for Utah, and we're so grateful for that. And then we canceled all of our support so that our church could go there in Preston independent. Well, then when we went for the one more church, we had to begin raising support again. And again, you guys were one of the churches that jumped back in with us, and we're so grateful, but we're still raising support. And so if you, that's another prayer request. If you would pray about that, boy, that would be great. But that's why we love you so much, because you jumped back in with us. Then there was the fourth thing. People.
Yeah, we definitely needed people. We wanted to meet people who were possibly believers. God directed us to those people. This is part of one of our worship services, but we had some people I want to quickly tell you about, Jim and Paula. We met Jim years ago when we were pastoring, planting a church in Pleasant Grove, Utah. Jim got saved during that time. And now he and Paula live in Garden City, and he manages a hotel chain, and we're very excited to have him be part of the church. We met a man named John Alter, who got saved last summer. He's 82 years old, trusted Christ as Savior last summer. We met Sam and Jody. Sam is the guy at the bottom of the picture. He's got a little dog with him, a service dog, because he has a lot of physical problems. But Sam and Jody moved to Garden City and were there 6 months before they found out that there was going to be a church there. They'd been looking around and there was no church, but they were part of our church right from the very beginning, last summer in June. And then also we got to meet the mayor and his wife and their son Leo, and they are all believers. How a believer, a Christian, got to be a mayor in a 97% Mormon town is just a God thing. Totally. He served two terms as mayor, and he resigned or stepped down in December of this year to handle some other businesses, but God was so good to us. We've never had dogs in church before until the service dog, and then one Sunday we had three dogs at one service. that was very unique. I hadn't planned on a message for dogs, but no, I'm just kidding. Didn't come up with a message for dogs. But God has been so good to give us lots of different people. And again, the summertime is different than the winter. In the winter, we average about 18 people each Sunday, once in a while a few more than that or less. But in the summertime, we probably average about 32 or so. So these are just some pictures of the people that God gave us. It just reminded me of that passage of Scripture in 1 Peter 2 verse 9, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a holy nation rather, and a people for his own possession. And that's what God has given us, a people for his own possession. And we're praising him for the ones who've come to know Christ as Savior, the believers who are there, that now we have a church that they can go to in Garden City. Then there's one more area, and that's laborers.
Though the reason why God put us in churches so we could connect with each other is all those people didn't know other believers were there until there was a church that they could connect in. And they were all watching different TV preachers, and it was sad. Jody and Sam, they didn't even know. They thought there was just going to be nothing, and they wouldn't find any place to go to church. And we met them through the hairdresser and started taking them with us. We would go visit churches an hour away every Sunday until we started church. And that's how we got to know Sam and Jody. But church is so important because it connects you. And if we're out there by ourselves, we are so easy to get picked off by Satan. So you can be so thankful for this church. Then another area is health and strength. And Bill and I are getting old, and we're falling apart. And so we really need prayer for health and strength. Isaiah 38:16b says, "Oh, restore me to health and make me live." And a lot of people I hear say, "Oh, the reason we get old and fall apart is so that we'll look forward to heaven. I don't believe that. I think that is not the truth. And so I'm asking for restoration of my health. Moses walked to his death up a mountain, and I want to be like him. And so we have to do a lot of snow work, and this was Bill trying to get the snow out of our driveway, and the snow blower, the wind was so strong it was just blowing all over him, and I wanted to take a picture. We also had a couple days, this is how far our car made it into the driveway one day, but we had another Sunday that we had to cancel church, but we went in case somebody came, and then we tried to get back home, and we only got partway up the hill because there was ice with snow on top of it, and I got out to help Bill turn the car and head back down the hill, and I stepped down, and I had shut the door, and I was flat on my back, and Bill, like, when I finally got myself up again, because I thought I broke a hip, but no, I didn't, when I got back up, his head was just swiveling everywhere. He couldn't figure out where I went, and it was a good thing that I was able to get up, because I'm not sure he would have found me. So pray for our health and strength, and that we'll, I don't want to live longer than I'm supposed to. I just want to live healthy until I die. And I think Bill has the last one.
Yeah, just very quickly, because I know our time is up. We are thankful for Mary Jo and her role as a support missionary with our HMA. She's right here on the front row. Brand new missionary with our HMA and working with us. Last summer, we had our granddaughter Riley and a friend of hers, Mariah, who worked in our little shops, and we praise God for that. This summer, we'll have Derek and June and the girls with us. Derek and June are actually ministering in our church this Sunday and next Sunday while we're on this trip. But you can pray for people. We need a treasure. We've needed that from day one at our church, and we don't have a treasurer yet. So you can be praying for that. We need people who will help with outreach. Last Christmas, we had Christmas in the Village. Mary Jo set that all up, and she's kind of in charge of outreach. But we need people who can help with that, like beach evangelism and those kinds of things. So lots of things you can be praying about, and we are, again, so grateful for Pekin Bible Church and your share in our ministry over many years. God bless you.